This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking at you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's cold, but yesterday it was doing its best impersonation of a winter wonderland, but no more. But the cold managed to stay with me, of course. As always, once again, is the one and only mermaid herself, live to tape also from Centerville, Virginia. It is the mermaid, the only mermaid I would care to know, Anna Knox.
Yes, this mermaid is quite not happy with the weather.
I'll tell you, I was loving that.
Yeah, I was loving, Thursday? One of the days was absolutely gorgeous last week, and not so much. But that's okay. Yeah. Anyways, happy Sunday, Gil.
Happy Sunday. Happy birthday last week.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And so how was all that? Did you get anything nice?
Yeah. You know what? Actually, I had some really, really for me, didn't need gifts or anything, but I got some amazing cards from some of my students now. I actually have one who came here from Palestine. Didn't speak a word of English, kind of deer in the headlights when she walked in back in August. And we've been, I kind of took her under my wing because I just was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine. And she sent me, made me this beautiful card thanking me for always helping her. So that just... you couldn't ask for a better thing. And then, yes, as many times as I tell my students, I don't have a sweet tooth. No, I don't like chocolate. I got a couple boxes of chocolate. So go figure. Everyone goes to that, either Whitmer's or whatever it's called or Lindt. And it's like, okay, well, it's good chocolate. I appreciate it. But my family thoroughly enjoyed it. So, yeah.
All right. All good. Okay, so it's still March, so we are ongoing in our celebration of Women's History Month, and so we put the call out to our loyal listeners and fellow Caps fans, and so we have, I think we got a pretty good one, another one this week. We had Lynn Riegert and Cheryl Forster on last week, but I think we got another good one this week. I'd like to introduce her. You've seen her probably on a lot of different Facebook fan sites, most notably Grant Green's Caps Society and the Caps Fans Group. That's the one that Mike Stepp created. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to bring her in right now. It's Betsy Myers. Betsy, how you doing this evening?
Hello, I'm doing well. I don't know if that's a good thing or not that they've seen me so much on those fan pages.
It means you got an opinion. You know how to express yourself, and they love seeing you. So we're thrilled to death that you could come on with us tonight.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And it's 56 degrees down here in Huntsville, Alabama. I had to move during COVID, leave my beloved Cap season tickets behind, but I did it, and so I'm loving my Caps from afar.
Yes, Huntsville, Alabama. Know it well. Home of the U.S. Space Camp and also hometown of the late, great, beautiful Bobby Eaton. Yep, know it well.
Hometown of Nicholas Dowd, too.
Him, too. You're telling us before we came on, we were chatting before all about that. How'd you come to know him?
How did I come to know Nick Dowd?
Yeah.
Well, just I knew that my husband was living down here for 2 years prior to me coming down because I refused to leave my season tickets. And so I just knew Nick was from Huntsville. And so when I moved down here, I had all my caps, T-shirts, sweatshirts, whatnot. And then when I walk around the neighborhood, when I go into the grocery store, people see, oh, I know the Capitals. You've got a player that I coached when he was in Little League, because Huntsville's got a hockey team down here. They had a Huntsville college team here. And so everybody knows Nick because he went off when he was in high school and went away to play. So, and then I was in the grocery store one day and I had another cap shirt on. And this guy said, one of my customers, her son plays for that team. I said, yeah. Oh, Nick Dowd. Nick Dowd. He goes, yeah, how did you know that? And I said, well, he goes, well, you know, she got a jersey signed for me, and I'm going to go to see them when they play in Nashville. So, you know, it was funny. So, yeah. And that's one of my neighbors cool. here in my neighborhood coached him when he was
cool.
Yeah, when he was young. So Nick's very popular here in Huntsville. Everybody knows Nick.
Yeah, probably. Well, I don't mean to make fun by saying this, but probably the best and most popular hockey player ever to come out of Alabama. Actually, it's kind of a funny thing. I heard it's not totally unusual because I've heard of, I think it's the University of Alabama at Huntsville. They have a decent college team.
Yes. Yes, they do. They did, but they are they're not playing. They did not play this year. It's been kind of put on hold because of finances.
Yeah, I can believe that. It's kind of tough. Yeah, minor hockey, non-pro hockey, kind of falling on hard times here, you know, and COVID really hasn't helped. But I believe that.
Yeah, and so Goldie Hawn's son used to play, and she would come. She and Kurt Russell had a hotel room at the Westin, and
oh
she was
my
here
goodness.
All the time. Yeah, nice. Big news. So, yeah.
Wow. I
love it.
Because everybody kept trying to get me to move down here, and they kept saying, we have hockey in Huntsville. I said, but you don't have the Caps. So anyway.
So is that how you got into hockey through Nick Dowd, or was that long before?
Lord no. It was funny when I was in probably eighth, ninth grade, I lived in Catharpin, which is a little country town off the edge of the battlefield.
Yeah.
And in the winter the pond would freeze over that was on the farm that I lived on. And I had brothers, and then we had people that would come out and we would play hockey on the pond. And when I was a freshman in high school, I had the gym teacher call me into her office, and she had to ask me if I was being beaten at home. And I kind of looked at her funny, and she said, you're bruised all over your body.
Oh,
and I looked and I started laughing. I said, oh, I played hockey this week. So,
nice.
But I played with the guys, and I think there's only one other female, and she's about 4 years older. But so I played hockey on the pond for about three winters and before I got a little bit too old. So I did that. My first hockey game was in 1987. My husband and I went. But I was working on a Stinger proposal, and I was exhausted. And would you believe I fell asleep?
Oh, gosh.
And then my brother is involved with the Carolina Hurricanes. And in 2006, of course, they won the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I got really involved at the NHL level, because he and I talked all the time, and he kept telling me all these stories about what was going on with the team. And so in the 2006-2007 season, I went to the games that the Carolina would come up to and in DC. And then I went down to Carolina and I went to some of their games, and I went as a family member of his best friend that was a player. And that was a great experience. you know, being in the wives' room and things like that. So then I just started going to the games, and I liked it. And we started getting ticket packages to the Washington Capitals. And from 2007 on, we got ticket packages. And then every year we would go to however number of games. And by then, you know, then the tickets were very cheap. Alex had just started playing. Backstrom had just started playing. And we had more fans of the opposing teams than we had Cats fans. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some lean years then.
Yeah.
Team wasn't very good for one. That's how they landed that number one pick. But yeah, it was some pretty lean, some bad years had to get through. So yeah, I do remember that. And Anna, that's when you moved out here when you started. So I remember that.
Yeah, definitely. And that was it was interesting coming from, like I said before, coming from California, and then we come here, and it's all of this, like, okay, who's this Alex Ovechkin guy? And I think, you know, everyone's so pumped up, and, you know, want to see this kid at the time play. That was definitely a different time for the Caps and who's on the ice now.
Seems like once they changed the colors of their jerseys, they went from that, you know, blue, black, and gold, and then they changed it to red. It was like, pow. And then, you know, I got used to sitting close to the ice. I was down there because the tickets were cheap. And then my kids all graduated from high school. They went into college. And it wasn't until we got them out of college that we said, okay, we're doing season tickets. And so we did. And but I just got addicted. I mean, I was so... I threw myself into that because I love sports. So that's how I kind of became kind of addicted to the whole thing. And of course, then listening to my brother, who then became, he was friends, but then he became involved, and he's got a kind of an unpaid position with the team. And we did great until the Canes got good. And now we really can't speak of them. After they beat us in the playoffs that year, 2019? Yeah, we didn't speak for 2 weeks. I couldn't talk to them. Could not talk to them. So that's how I became obsessed with the whole – well, I became obsessed before – oh, I don't know, 2008, you know, and I learned the game very quickly. Good. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. So, sounds like you started from the ground up playing the game when you were younger. So, yeah, that always great to hear, because, again, Women's History Month, and, you know, it's a fast-growing group of not only fans but players, so always great to hear. So we'll talk more about that towards the end. But, of course, there were three games that the Caps played on the ice. And, of course, we cover those. And, 6 points on the line. Caps got all of five from them. So pretty good week. I think I'm 98% convinced they've turned it around. I still need to see a bit more of a sample size because they're still doing stuff that I kind of don't like, but I'm 98% convinced they've righted the ship and turned it around. It's the annual Western Canada road swing. So let's go ahead and get into it. First game was this past Tuesday in Calgary against the Flames at the old Saddle Dome. Let's just run through the scoring here real quick. This guy's really starting to tick me off. He always seems to find a way to score against the Caps. Elias Lindholm, 9:40 into the first with a wrister. Johnny Hockey and Anderson on the assists on that one. You knew those two guys would get involved, and they did.
Absolutely.
In this much time.
Yep.
So 1-0 lead, and then they fell into they spent the whole period fending them off. Not a bad start, I would say. You know, to get out of the period against one of the top teams in the league, only down 1-0, not bad. And then second period, Adam Ruzicka with his fifth with eight minutes, 54 seconds gone by. Joe Manganiello, I'm just going to call him that because I can't say his real name. And Dubé on the assist. No, it's Mangiapane is his. He kind of looks like Joe Manganiello, but I don't want to drift down that road. Anyway, 2-0 Calgary, 8:54 in the second. And I kind of thought the Caps were going to die a slow death here, just make a good show of it, but maybe just, you know, end up losing by this margin. But then they kind of woke up about a minute and a half later. Connor Sherry with his 15th unassisted, pulling them within 2-1. Nice wrister from him. And then 3 minutes later, Alex Ovechkin with his 35th of the year. And this was the one. No, it was not. No, it was not. This was 7:65 for him for the career. Kuznetsov on the assist on that one ties the game 2-2 by the end of the second period. Mm-hmm. And then it got really crazy because then it really became a seesaw back and forth battle. Oliver Kylington, his seventh, makes it 3-2, 3:45 in the third. And then Anthony Mantha, who just keeps getting better every game, he's come back. His third of the year, assisted by a couple of Knicks, Backstrom and Jensen, ties it 3-3. And then the guy we were just talking about, Nick Dowd, with his eighth. Mm-hmm. Nick Dowd, he always seems to sneak onto the scoreboard in one of these types of games where it's back and forth. He always gets one that's kind of crucial. In this case, put him up by one. Janssen Fjällby, who's also impressed me, Jensen again with another assist. Remember that name. 11:50 into the third. And then so that would, we thought, end up being the game winner, but no. Flames pulled their goalie, and Alex Ovechkin, this was the one that tied Jagr, 7:66. This is 36. Wilson and Jensen again. Jensen, that's his third assist with the empty netter. And then who would strike again a minute later but Elias Lindholm again to Foley and Anderson on the assists on that one. And so Ovechkin's empty netter would end up being the game winner. But Caps come away with a regulation win with top three team in the whole league. Yeah, I'm feeling good, but feeling relieved too. Let's do a quick rundown of the vitals. 35 shots on goal for the Flames. You never want to see that, not with this kind of firepower. But
right.
Thankfully, Vanacek was up to the task on this one, stopping 31 of them. Face-off, a pretty good showing, 53.8. Power play, couldn't get it done, but they had some good looks. Hits, not too physical a game overall. Only 21 for the Flames, 12 for the Caps. So, it was a nice game to watch. It was a back-and-forth game when the third period started. Pretty exciting. I like the effort. I like the fight that they put up. And, you know, pleasant surprise that I really didn't think they would come out with the 2 points. But, I'll take it. So, did either one of you get a chance to see that game? I know it was kind of late.
I did. And I was kind of back and forth the first two periods. That third period got me excited. I got wound up. I felt that they really kind of, the Caps turned it on in the third period. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just felt they skated better. They seemed to kind of just, I liked what they did in the third period. And that Jensen getting three assists and Backstrom got an assist. And the fact that that Ovechkin tied Jagr in that game, having going up two goals, I thought that was good. I liked that.
Yeah, I liked how whenever they need him, it seems like Ovechkin comes to the, you know, gets in there and starts to make the difference. But I like the fact that it was also not only him, but Jensen, the guys like Jensen getting involved, Nick Dowd and Mantha. So that's telling me everything's starting to come back. The flow, the chemistry is starting to come back with this team. And everybody getting involved and the effort and, you know, not giving up, because they could have very easily rolled over against a heavily favored team, and they didn't. I really like seeing that.
I agree. Well, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I think I posted, wow, we really missed Mantha. And I think I was so impressed. I mean, Mantha's young, given that he's 27, but the fact that he had been out for so long and had shoulder surgery, but he really came back, and he's just been a force to reckon with since he's been back. And I'm just excited to have him back. And he really showed himself in that game. And I mean, a good thing. So I was happy with that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wrote down my top two definitely were Jensen and Mantha. I like having Mantha back on the line. I agree. It's great to see someone come back after, you know, an injury. You never know what's going to happen. And I know, Gil, you've said frequently about Michael Kempney coming back looking good, but maybe about 95%. I think we're seeing really good signs with Mantha so far, and I hope it continues. But I liked this game. I think Calgary came out, you know, ready to play 60 minutes. And I think they pushed the Capitals to say, hey, listen, guys, don't even think for a second that this is not going to be a tough game and a fast game, which was a great way for them to start off.
That's exactly what it was. It was as advertised, a tough, fast game. These guys can skate, they can get it done at both ends of the ice. I don't want to say I had this marked as a loss, but I didn't know what to expect. And obviously, you know, it exceeded my expectations. So again, good that they showed a total team effort against a team they could have just easily have decided, okay, well, let's take this night off and prepare for, you know, the next game, the back-to-back. So speaking of that, there was the very next night up in Edmonton against the Oilers. This is the game I had marked on my calendar, because I could not stand the way they lost to them when they were here in DC. So I really, really, really wanted to see if they could get one back, and well, didn't quite happen, but it was still a fun game to watch. Didn't have the benefit of Joe B or Locker, unfortunately, as it was on TNT. TNT compared to ESPN, I can take it or leave it, but they're not. I would say they're not as bad as ESPN, and I'll leave it at that.
I agree with you, but yep. I'm sorry. Can I jump in here?
Sure.
Did anyone think that Gretzky was kind of snarky?
a little bit.
I felt he was being snarky.
That's funny.
But they all kind of are. If you think about it, I think that's just kind of the way those guys are. But at least they're fun to listen to, and you know, the crew that ESPN has, that I don't think they're watching the game, frankly, half the time when they're covering it. But at least, you know, the TNT people, you know, you got guys that have actually played the game for the most part.
Correct.
So they know what they're talking about. So, you know, even though that, like you said, Gretzky was, you know, a little bit of the snarky, a little bit condescending at times, but, I think that's kind of why they, you know, they're paying him like $5 million or something to cover the game. So I think that's why they have him on there. But I mean, I'll take it, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's Gretzky, you know, unless he says, well, the Caps suck outright, which he's not yet. So.
All right. Well, and I'm sure, you know, he was like, hey, we're going to pay you all this money, but please know that we're going to constantly be talking about Ovechkin and comparing, you know, and he's going to have to sit through the same questions all the time of, you know, is he going to break your record? Do you want him to break your record? So I don't know. Like, do I agree with, I hate when people are condescending. I think that's the worst. And you kind of expect a little bit more from Gretzky, but who knows? Maybe it was just too many OB comparisons or something.
Yeah, I think, if you put yourself in his skates, you know, he's probably tired of hearing about it.
I would be.
So.
Well, yeah. I do know that generally speaking, Canadians don't like Russians. And I'd never seen the snarkiness out of Gretzky before. I thought that, you know, on the TNT, I thought they've all kind of been a little more joking around and, you know, than I've ever seen Gretzky do before. But I'd never seen him be that snarky before. But that was just me. And then the other thing that Patrick Sharp had said, I guess they said that the Caps were the oldest league in the team, or oldest team in the league. And that's not true, because it's the Islanders. And that's the because I get the Hockey News magazine, and just a few months ago, they have, you know, the tops and the bottoms. And unless the Hockey News is wrong, which could be true, but looking at the ages, they said it twice that the Washington Capitals were the oldest team in the league. But, you know, looking at the ages, our guys, so many of them are in like 29, 30, 31. Yes, we have some that are pushing 35, 36. But I just didn't agree with that. I thought that was fake news, but.
That might have been, you're right, by the way, that might have been true last year.
Yeah.
But it's 2022, not 2021.
Yeah. We had Chara.
We had a couple other guys. We had Anderson, a couple guys are pushing, been past 40 for crying out loud. So yeah, a little research there, guys, but you're right. It is the Islanders that have the oldest roster by average age as of right now.
Yeah.
And you see how much good it's doing them. They're probably going to miss the playoffs this year.
Yeah. And that was a bit annoying. I'm thinking, yeah. Wait a minute. Come on, guys, get your facts together.
True. Very true. Mm-hmm. But get into this game anyway. I was really gearing up for it. I was waiting for the guys to, you know, gear up and want some revenge for the last game, and because it was kind of scrappy, and they kind of blew it at the end. And I mean, they didn't disappoint a whole lot. At least they took it to overtime. Let's run down the scoring real quick here. No goals in the first period, and wow, I mean, that surprised the heck out of me, because against a team with Connor McJesus and Herr Goalmeister Leon Draisaitl, didn't expect that. But no goals in the first period. Nick Backstrom opened the scoring, 2:17 into the second. Mantha and Oshie on the assist. I'm really liking that line. I think they're starting to gel. So Caps on a 1-0 lead. Was this the one? I'm looking at I called up the video on the app. The caption could not be any more accurate. It says Backstrom's sweet backhand goal. So Backstrom took the pass from Mantha and Oshie, and he skates to the left of the goalie. He collects it, and he does this kind of crazy quick spin move, and then on the backhand puts it in the net. He kind of drops it for himself. If you have a chance, watch this video. This could not be a sweeter looking goal. He skates to the left of the goalie. It's a rebound. Okay, so it's actually a rebound, and the defenseman gives it up. He turns around, whacks it on the backhand, and somehow it makes it in. And this was, yeah, really great to see. I highly recommend watching the replay if you get a chance. And then 10 minutes later, well, eight and a half minutes later, Caps give up one of their four power play chances to the Oilers, which you really can't do. And Kyler Yamamoto slams it in, or tips it in, rather, for his 12th. McJesus and Bouchard on the assist for that one. Tie game at 12:01. Cody Ceci puts the Oilers up 6 minutes later towards the end of the second, 2-1, his third. And then TJ Oshie, Caps get a power play, and TJ Oshie snaps it in, tying the game, his seventh. I thought at first this would end up being a carbon copy of the Flames game with the Caps running out of gas. Thankfully I was wrong, I think, but Brad Malone, his first of the year, first of his career, I think, actually. Cassian Bouchard on the assist, making it 3-2 Edmonton midway through the third. And then everybody on pins and needles. And once again, in the magical McNugget minute, Oshie comes through with 2 seconds left in the game. I kid you not. It didn't go to the dogs, thank God. 2 seconds left in the game. His eighth, Carlson and Kuznetsov both did a pretty good job of keeping the play alive. Oshie just lined himself up at the top of the slot and just wailed away at it. And thank goodness it made its way in, because I thought by then the game was pretty much lost. Mm-hmm. And then on to OT. And this was pretty interesting. The goal didn't get – usually when the Caps lose, it's like within the first minute. This took 3 minutes and 27 seconds, and I wasn't all that ticked, because at least they got the loser point, but Connor McDavid puts it in, the 2-on-1 chance. Who was left back? Was it Orlov? It was either Orlov or Eller that got left back to defend these two guys, and it was like, I think it was Eller, and he had no chance, absolutely no chance to pick it up. So the Caps are okay. So yeah, Oshie got tackled. That's what pissed me off. Loses the puck, and then it's 2-on-1. Eller's by himself. It was Eller. He had no way of defending it. He took the shot as best as he could, but McDavid roofed it past Samsonov, who I thought had a pretty good game except for the one goal. Mm-hmm. Not this one.
I agree.
Not this one, but right. The one earlier. I think he won it back. But Samsonov had himself a pretty good game, and I'll show you why here in a minute. But McDavid wins it in overtime off a broken play that, I think should have been called a penalty. But I guess karma turns around, because Ovechkin had that hook. 2 minutes before.
The whole world keeps talking or kept talking about.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, normally that gets called. We got to be fair. But, I think they talked about it a lot, because Austin Matthews had something happen to him the very next night. And I think people were just pissed about the refs being, idiots. So I think that's why it got talked about. But, that was just karma turning around on us, I guess. And we come out of Edmonton with the loser point, but I mean, here's the thing that bothered me. First period, here's the shot count. 9 for the Capitals. Okay. How many for the Oilers? 10? No. 12? No. 15? No.
Oh, no.
Higher. This is the Price is Right. 17? Higher. 18? Higher. No. 20.
Ridiculous.
That's a 2 with a 0 behind it. 20. As in within the first 20 minutes of play. You can't do that. Not against a team who's got 2 of the guys that are driving the scoring of the whole league. You can't do that. And it's a credit to Samsonov that he stopped all of them.
Yeah, no doubt.
All of them in that whole period.
Yep.
So I said before, bad habits still coming into play. That's one of them right there. Mm-hmm. Really, really bad starts, really slow starts. And, thankfully that it didn't cost them, at least not right away, but you might as well put yourself in a hole if you're going to start like that. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't like seeing that. Didn't like some of the undisciplined play. Did like that they fought till the end of regulation, at least. But would have liked the win. But all in all, I mean, not too bad. I wouldn't say this was one of their better games, but this was it was one of their better efforts, if that makes any sense. So.
Well, it could have been a hell of a lot worse. So,
yeah, very true. Very, very true. It could have been a hell of a lot worse.
So
if not for Oshie and Samsonov.
Agreed.
I also thought Carlson had a surprisingly good game too. He got a couple assists, and the one goal I think was more he was on the ice for one of them, but I wouldn't even blame him for that because he had his man. It was Eller who was supposed to pick up the trailing forward, and he just, I don't know if he was just out of gas or what happened to him, but he was just kind of, you know, skating in mud or something, trailing the play, and you don't see him till 2 seconds after the goal's in. And didn't like seeing that, but not a bad effort, just not the result we wanted, obviously. I don't know. I wasn't this time around. I wasn't too ticked off, but I don't know. What did you think?
Go for it, Patsy.
Well, I think, you know, it's good that we came away with a point. I think the boys play better in front of Vanacek than they do Samsonov. And I'm glad that Oshie played a better game. I think he's slow to come back, a little bit slower than I expected he would have. So I'm just glad we got out of there with 1 point. I think it's, I was not expecting to win, to be honest. So,
yeah. this was the game, like I said, this was the game I was kind of hoping they were amped up about, because the last time they played them, it was one of Evander Kane's first games, and he was out to prove himself, and he was clearly, you know, all over the ice and, you know, mm-hmm. trying to show that he belonged, and, you know, and he did. He got involved, and, you know, people forget that Edmonton is still fighting for a playoff spot. In fact, they've actually crawled back into a playoff spot. They were out of the playoffs for a little while there. So I was kind of hoping they would be more up for this game. And obviously you let 20 shots against in the first period. That's not a good start. So I don't think they approached it like they needed to. You know, maybe the fact that it was a back-to-back, you know, I get that. Because there is a fatigue factor, obviously, but yeah, all in all, like you said, Betsy, you know, they came out of it with a point, and I guess when you look at the big picture, you know, we couldn't really ask for much more. So,
well, and I think Evander Kane's still playing like that, and then every team, I don't care who it is, they always play up for the Capitals. I think they always play up because we've got Alexander Ovechkin. They every team, every night plays up for the Capitals. So we're not allowed to have an off night. We're not allowed to have a tired night. And then, like I said, I do think our boys play better in front of Vanacek than they do Samsonov.
Yeah, I think a lot of Caps fans out there would agree with you. I mean, and when it gets down to it, yeah, when numbers don't lie, you know, if they do play better in front of Vanacek, because, you know, yes, it's only a 4-shot difference, but between the two games, but, you know, Vanacek had to make 30 plus saves. So did Samsonov, but at the same time, Vanacek didn't have to face close in shots 3, 4, 5, and 6 times in one period either. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is something to be said for that. And it's one of those things where I'm trying to figure it out, but I haven't quite figured it out yet. Why that is, because it's a catch 22. If you play better in front of one guy, that means, you know, you got to help him out. You got to bail him out. If you don't play as well, that means you're thinking, okay, well, we can leave him on his own. Maybe he'll steal it. When it should be the opposite, because I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but in my mind anyway, you know, anybody can disagree with me if they want. But as far as I'm concerned, as of right now, even with what Samsonov did recently, as of right now, Vitek Vanacek is the number one goalie of the Washington Capitals, bar none.
Agreed. Yes.
That is fact.
Yes.
As far as I'm seeing it. It's like, you know, when Brad Silvestro and Blake Allen and I did our episode a while ago, and we talked about the importance of a number one. You know, you have, if you're playing in, I guess what this is what it amounts to. If you're playing in front of a number one, then you've got that confidence and you know he's going to back you up. And I guess with that comes your A game, I'm guessing. But I'm still scratching my head because, Betsy, I think you hit it on the head. You're 110% right. They do play better in front of Vanacek than they do against Samsonov. And this game proved it. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a work in progress to figure it out, because hopefully Vanacek can stay healthy, because assuming all goes well and they make the playoffs, they're going to ride him. And it's not – you get to the playoffs, you know, you go with your number one and that's it mainly. So that's going to be very interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So on to the latest of the three games. And I don't know how many of you out there actually stayed up and sat through this one, but God bless you if you did, because I did, and I was kind of, sleepy. So I missed swatches of action here and there, but I caught probably most of it. So it was the game against Vancouver Friday night, and it was a pretty good start for the Caps. Kuznetsov, 5:34 and 47 seconds later at 43 seconds later, rather, at 6:17. The first was this crazy deflection that. I jokingly, normally I make a post at our Facebook page as to who scored the goal. I jokingly made a post of the definition of the word, stanchion from Google. It was with this crazy bounce that, where it bounced off of one of those things and then into the net. But they gave the goal to Kuznetsov. Jensen and Oshie on the assist for that one. And then here was the really strange one. This was the one everybody thought that, well, Ovi had the shot. They were on the power play. Ovi had the shot, and it was making its way into the net, but it kind of stopped before the line, and then Kuznetsov took a swipe at it, and then it went in. But they weren't sure who to give it to. They eventually gave it to Kuznetsov, and... This was the cause for jokes all around. Hey, yay, Ovechkin broke the record. No, he didn't. And so Carlson and Ovechkin on the assist for that one. So pretty good start. And then not much action. I think this is where I kind of lost it, was in the second period. No goals. And then we jumped to the third, and yeah, the wheels were starting to fall off. So in the Bizarro McNugget minute.
Me and Bizarro. Me, great big dummy.
57 seconds in. Quinn Hughes with his fifth makes it 2-1. And then not 3 minutes later, Bo Horvat, his 19th. Miller and Hughes on the assist. That one's on the power play. And then a minute and a half later, Horvat again. Hamonic and Hughes on the assist on that one. And next thing you know, Vancouver's got the lead. And you're hearing, Bruce, there it is. Bruce, there it is. Caps, where'd you go? Caps, where'd you go? At least in this house, that's what was said. I was wondering where the hell they went. So, yeah, another needlessly exciting game. And then Caps get a power play 11 minutes later. Kuznetsov again, hats a-flying on the power play. This one, another freaky bounce, a couple whacks at it by the power play unit, and then it ends up in the corner, and then Kuznetsov flicks it in. Then came OT, and 42 seconds in, the guy who's been the one of the guys I've been picking on for a while, Carlson, and the guy who I thought had the worst week this whole week, Lars Eller, they're the two guys of all people who finished this game, but... And I know you got to jump, but I want to give your boy some love here, because
please do.
Had it not been for Tommy Wilson, this play never ever would have happened. And if you look at the replay, if they bother to show the full replay, you'll know what I mean. But if they don't, let me describe it for you. Tommy Wilson defined forecheck on this play. Or not? No, I take it back. Not forecheck, but backcheck, because it was in the defensive zone. He hounded the puck carrier and forced the turnover. And I'm not talking about just some scrub either. It was Quinn Hughes that he hounded. So no ordinary guy, a guy who's renowned for puck control and getting the play started on the offensive end. Did circles around. Yeah, exactly. And he chased him around for a good 15 seconds, finally got the puck away from him, fired it down the ice, found Carlson, fired it over to him, who found Eller, who buried the wrister. But again, that play doesn't happen without the defensive coverage of Tom Wilson. And I posted a tweet. If ever you're not sure why this guy still has worth, you watch this play. Yeah. This is why everybody wants him. This is one of the reasons why he's a valuable member of the team. Even when he's not hitting, even when he's not scoring, even when he's not pushing people around, this is the kind of thing that he does. So
couldn't agree more.
I wanted to put that out there because that was probably the play of the week and the definition of absolute total effort.
Absolutely. And also, you know, he wasn't, didn't really talk about him in the first two games, you know, but it doesn't mean that he wasn't a force out there. So I'm always, always happy for some Tommy love. Impressed. Yeah. Glad that this show. Yeah. We had a whole handful of names, which is nice. I always, like you said earlier, Gil, that you kind of feel like we're kind of getting back. The chemistry's there. The things are rolling. Knock on wood, it continues, because I know we do have Carolina this week, which is always like either, you know, I never know with them. Like, I feel like last time it was like, what a fantastic game for us, and who knows how they're going to come in this week. But yeah, I have I have about 10 minutes. I'm sorry. I didn't even think to tell you guys that.
It's fine. It's fine. But yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. And, you know, I got to say, 43 didn't exactly have himself a great week. I think he's a bit banged up, to be honest. And he actually got demoted to the third line. Between you and me, I think it's because he isn't 100%. I don't think it's because he's playing worse. I think they're trying to give him less minutes in an effort to rest him.
Yeah.
Even though they still need him.
I felt like I'm trying to think of when it was. I feel like there was a wince and a, oh God. And he was like holding his hand at one point. So yeah, you could be right, because there was no reason, you know, to justify that big of a change in the lineup, unless they want him out there, but they don't want to, you know, give him as many minutes. And it wasn't, it was a very quiet Tom Wilson week, which is good. You know, that's fine, because this upcoming week, maybe we'll see a more healthy number 43.
Hopefully so. So thus endeth the week that was on the ice. Like I said, 6 possible points. Caps got 5. And Anna, I think you already mentioned it, but real quick, previews of coming attractions. Okay, so just before, I just reminded myself of something else. We're actually going to try to record this Saturday. We usually record Sunday evenings. We're going to try to record Saturday, because one of the upcoming games is actually a 5 o'clock start at Capital One on that Sunday, which is smack in the middle of when we usually record. So, yeah, that's going to be a bit awkward. So, I don't know how that jibes with your schedules, but, we'll talk about that later, but, we're going to try and do it. That's the Saturday before, the 3 games before that, New York Islanders that Tuesday, the 15th, 7 o'clock puck drop at home at Cap One. Then they go on the road really briefly for a back-to-back Thursday, Friday. First of the two is against the Blue Jackets at 7 at Nationwide Arena, and against Carolina the next night. I forget what their arena is called, but also 7 o'clock. Yeah, that's probably going to be the big game right there is against Carolina. Cause yeah,
they're at PNC.
PNC. That's right. That's right. PNC arena. Caps did a number on them last time they came here. So I'm pretty sure Carolina is going to want revenge for that. So that's going to be the big one. If you don't catch any other games, make sure you catch that one for sure. And then to start the week after is like I said, the 5 o'clock game, that's against Dallas back home. Mm-hmm. But we're actually going to cover that the week after next. Cause like I said, we're going to cover those three games only, since that game is going to be on as we're recording, which is going to be really awkward. So,
gotcha.
All right. So, okay. So we got a few minutes left. So again, this being Women's History Month, we're putting the spotlight on our female listeners and fans. Betsy, just wanted to ask you your opinion on a few things. We talked with Lynn and Sherland last week about this. It's kind of a double-edged sword with being a woman in hockey, because because you want to be counted as a fan, but you want to be counted if you're playing, you want to be counted as well. So my first question to you would be, what do you think of the women's game in general? Do you think more should be done? And if so, how? Do you have any ideas and thoughts about that? As far as women's professional hockey?
To promote it? I think it, to promote it, I think, yeah, they should be trying to promote it more. Do I ever think it will never get to be the NHL, to be at the NHL level. Just like, you look at basketball, the WNBA, it just is never going to get there. I don't know why, but I guess the money's not there. Women aren't going to, people aren't going to pay to play, pay to watch or go see women play hockey. It just isn't there. And that's what drives it all, money.
Well, I can see that, but I actually when you have some of the best out there, and I've seen enough women's games to be able to appreciate the difference. But I think I would pay money to have professionals who dedicate themselves, train themselves to be among the best to play the game. I actually would. And we talked about this last week. If the NHL would kind of cast their power behind that, cast their influence, I think that may be what's needed to get push that, give them that push that they need. So I can see what you're saying, Betsy, but I disagree a little bit on that.
Okay. Well, I would pay for it too, because I've loved watching it in the Olympics. I didn't watch the Olympics this year, but I've loved watching it in the Olympics before. It's funny, my next door neighbor played college hockey at Tennessee, and I've known women that have played college hockey, and I love it. Women are tough. And so, yes, but I love hockey in general. I love the sport. And I think you have to have people that love the sport of hockey. So you love the sport of hockey. I love the sport of hockey. So,
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to for me. I don't want to see somebody who's just doing it just to do it. I think just about the organized league, the PHF, or the split off, as I've mentioned, the PHWPA, these are professionals who've dedicated their lives to the game, and they do bring the love, just like you described. So as long as they bring that to the game, I think, to me, it's definitely worth watching. I just wish that maybe, somehow there was more promotion of the game. Mm-hmm. And maybe someday they'll get there. And maybe you're right. Admittedly, it'll never be at the same level. But, at least find a way to pay these women so that they're not ending up having to work two jobs just to make ends meet. That's ridiculous to me.
Yes, I agree. And that would be nice. But, you know, I'm 60 years old. And when I was a kid, soccer was not a big deal. Look at what soccer is now.
Very true.
So there are, you know, there's a chance. And let's keep our fingers crossed. And let's keep pushing the NHL. Let's, you know, poke, prod, you know, just keep it there. It's one of those gentle foot in the door.
Absolutely.
Gentle foot someplace.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. And real quick, we got time for one more. Okay. So you're obviously a female fan. And so, how do you get treated? We talked about this with some of our guys for Black History Month. How do you normally get looked at? Do your opinions get dismissed? Do you get the stares? You're like, what are they doing here? What do they know about hockey? Or do you find that people generally treat you like an equal when you attend games or express your opinion or anything like that?
Oh, I very much got treated as an equal. People ask me, or people would turn around and ask me questions. So I did not get treated like I was stupid. As a matter of fact, I got treated very well, and I had no problem with the way people treated me.
Awesome.
It's when I'm on the internet is when people don't know, and they will tell me I'm stupid or you don't know what you're talking about. You know, the general keyboard warriors. And I just have that, you know, I know what I know. But when I'm sitting there and I'm at a game, I don't talk during the puck when the puck's in play. If I yell at somebody if they get up when the puck's in play. You know, I know what I'm talking about. And so I start talking and they know what I'm talking about and they give me respect. So I have no problem.
Great. That's great to hear. That is great to hear. And you're right about, we mentioned snarkiness before. Yeah. People do tend to be, as I like to say, have email balls or keyboard balls when they're sitting behind their device or whatever. So.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So, we gotta end it now. So a great week for the Caps and previews of the next game. So if you catch them all, as I said, so, we're going to end it here. Betsy, thanks very much for coming on with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thanks so much. And we would definitely like to have you on, sometime later on, to talk about Caps hockey. You were absolutely great this evening.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So we're going to end it here. This is the Blue Liner on Point signing off for the Mermaid Anna Knox and Betsy Myers, and reminding you that, well, I boo-booed and helped my wife sort her cosmetics, and it so happened that a glue stick ended up going into the slot where she keeps her lipstick. Well, as you can understand, she's still not talking to me.
There we go.
That was on purpose, I'm sure.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.